So everyone, it's good to see you. It's the last the part of my series, sermon series this time. And then I want you, if you missed the last two, part one and part two, I encourage you to go to website and or YouTube all channels and then listen in. Not because I preached, but because it's in a continuous that what I preach today. Promise? They kept coming, so I need to something like that. Okay. Anyway, pastor and author Dane Altland once said, Christianity is hard because of the jarring tension between what we say is true and what we experience. So what do you think about that? You think? Does being a Christian feel easy and joyful to you? Or does it feel as hard as that quote says? I can ask, do you live every part of your life fully as a Christian? I mean, bring your faith into your everyday struggles. Or do your spiritual life and your daily life feel separate? When we think about that, we can start to see that same kind of tension Pastor Oakland mentioned between what we believe and what we go through, right? Let me tell you a bit about my own journey. So please relax. I grew up in a Christian family. I loved church. It was my favorite place. There was a music I liked, a friends to hang out with, and Sunday school teachers who really cared about me. That environment helped me a lot naturally grow in my faith. I learned about Jesus, got baptized, and started leading worship. In my final year of university, I felt like God clearly answered my prayers and called me into full-time ministry. My dad doesn't like it. Yeah, he didn't like that at the time, but anyway. So even though I majored in electrical engineering, I chose to go to seminary. And right after making that decision, I married my wife, who had been serving with me in worship ministry for a long time. At the time, it felt like God was giving me everything I had asked for. After we got married, I planned to study at a certain Baptist seminary in the United States. But then someone from my home church who had lived in Ottawa suggested that my wife and I go to Canada first to study English. He said, so we can save some money. At his suggestion, my wife and I moved to Edmonton, not Ottawa. On January 4th, 1999. As we know, Edmonton was a true winter wonderland. To me, especially. My wife and I studied English at the University of Alberta and worked hard to get a grade we needed. And I finally got what I needed. But things didn't go as planned. A financial struggle forced us to return to Korea. And I felt like a failure. That wasn't what I had expected at all. It was then that I began to realize something important. God might not always answer my plans and prayers the way I expected. Back in Korea, we lived in a tiny studio apartment and felt really discouraged. I had to do anything to make a living, so I took a job teaching math and science at the private academy. And then I heard that the Korean Baptist Seminary offered a similar course to what I had wanted to start in the United States. So I enrolled. Ironically, as I began to study, that heavy feeling in my heart started to lift. I told myself, God had a reason for all this. I studied hard for 3 years and graduated at the top of my class. And then thanks to my wife's full support, I could finish my study at the seminary. And I became a full-time associate worship pastor at a large church. Again, I worked really hard there. It was a great place to learn about ministry. And I started to dream big about my future. And I still wanted to get another degree. So I made a plan, again, to go to a certain Baptist seminary in the United States. But there's so many buts kind of coming again. But then someone else came into my life again. A pastor friend who had just finished his studies at the Canadian Southern Baptist Seminary in Cochrane. He told me about the school, and he invited me to the ministry with him. Eventually, I brought my whole family back to Edmonton. That's where his church was. I came back feeling confident this time because I had a good grade, ministry experience in a large church, and big and perfect plan, I thought. But none of those plans worked out. Instead, I went through another long, hard season of God's training. My wife and I often refer to that time as our wilderness season. 4 years later, I was called to be an associate pastor at Calgary Korean Baptist Church. That call felt like a reward after my time in the wilderness. I poured myself into ministry there and experienced great joy as I saw things grow. But over time, I burned out physically and spiritually, and I had to step down. While I was just resting and recovering, I got an email from the CBWC that the BBC was looking for a music pastor, actually music director at the time they called. I applied without much expectation, honestly. And here I am today. At first time, I was really nervous because this was the first time I served a community that wasn't a primary Korean. But with your prayers and support, I've now been here for 11 years. Yeah, that's what I exactly said. Wow. Even today, I still ask God why He's placed me here. And I try my best to live faithfully to His calling. I've shared this story with you because, just like you, I know what it's like to say living as a Christian isn't easy. There are still so many things I don't understand in my life journey, honestly, yeah. But when I look back, I can clearly see God's hand guiding me, even in small ways. Over the past 2 weeks, we've been talking about the discomforting call and the ultimate discomfort. Just like the rich young man, we are uncomfortable when Jesus calls us to turn our priorities upside down. It is hard when he tells us to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him, especially when we know what that road looks like because Jesus walked it first. Perhaps the disciples who were with Jesus were going through a life journey no different from ours, I believe. They responded to Jesus' call, but they all had their own plans. And when they didn't go as planned, they were confused and didn't know what to do. It sounds like my story. But Jesus understood them exactly. And so he gave them finer, confident encouragement and comfort through the scripture we read today. So I want to go back to the scripture we read today. It is from John chapter 16, verse 16 to 33. In verse 16, Jesus says, "In a little while, you'll see me no more. And then after a little while, you will see me." The disciples are totally, totally confused. They ask, what does he mean by a little while? We don't understand what he is saying. Instead of answering their question directly, Jesus shifts their focus. He tells them what will happen. Sorrow first, but then joy. Jesus tells them straight up in verse 20, you will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. He compares it to childbirth, pain first, then joy. Even after Jesus explains things more clearly, the disciples think they've got it. Now you are speaking clearly. Now we believe that you came from God. But Jesus challenges them. Jesus said, do you now believe? A time is coming when you will be scattered. Jesus saying, you think you understand, but you don't really know what's coming. Their confidence is shallow. Within hours, they will scatter in fear. Jesus is talking about real events, his death and resurrection, and real promises, sorrow turning into joy. But the disciples are stuck in their limited understanding. Still, Jesus doesn't leave them in fear. Actually, he comforts them. He promised them peace. He says, they'll be able to pray directly in his name. And then he says in verse 33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. This peace isn't about escaping problem. It's peace in the middle of them. He tells them, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. On the night before his crucifixion, Jesus says that his victory is already certain. As we wrap up this series, I want you to remember this truth when you look for your true comfort in your life. Number one, sorrow and joy can exist together. Jesus promised that grief would give way to joy. Just like childbirth, pain comes first, then joy. How many people understand this? When I studied this passage, I thought a lot about December 1999. My wife and I had come to Edmonton, as you know. and things were really tough. But during that time, we had our daughter, Jessica. It was hard. No family, no support, and a very unfamiliar place. On December 12, 1999, after Sunday service, we went to Misericordia Hospital. Jessica was born later than night. As you know, as a good husband, no, as you know, as a good husband, I had read books on breathing techniques for helping my wife. At that time, there's no Google. But nothing helped during labor, I found out. After long delivery, we heard Jessica's first cry. That was pure joy. I can't imagine the pain my wife went through, but I know the joy she felt was even greater. Pastor Timothy Keller once said, "While other worldviews lead us to sit in the midst of the life's joys, foreseeing the coming sorrows, Christianity empowers its people to sit in the midst of the world's sorrows, tasting the coming joy." As Christians, we don't ignore or avoid sorrow. We find God's joy through it, a joy that's far greater than the pain. Number two, peace comes from Christ, not from all circumstances. Jesus offers us a peace that doesn't depend on what's happening around us. The disciples' belief was based on what they understood when things made sense. But true faith trusts even when we don't fully understand. I'll show you some pictures. The first one is parachute. Believing in a parachute safety doesn't help unless you actually jump out of the plane, right? Once you do, and the parachute opens, that's when you experience real security. Next picture, please. Can you see that? Even in the extremely unstable sky where you cannot set foot, you can experience deep comfort because you jump with the confidence in your parachute. Real comfort comes not from calm circumstances, but from Christ. And lastly, number three is, trials are real, but they're not the end. Jesus never said life would be easy. Sorry about that. But this is what Jesus said. He said, we'd have trouble, but also that he has overcome the world. In Romans chapter 8, verse 35 and verse 39, Apostle Paul reminds us that nothing at all can separate us from God's love. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So take heart. Jesus has already won. Even when we don't understand everything, like the disciples, like me, we know the one who does. He has promised us joy beyond sorrow, peace in the middle of trouble, and eternal life beyond this world. Christian author Carl McKinney said, "This creates a paradox. Tribulation is guaranteed, yet peace is promised. The peace is not a result of tribulation's removal, but its presence within it." I truly want you to remember Jesus has promised us joy beyond sorrow, peace in the middle of trouble, and eternal life beyond this world. I'd like to close today's sermon by reading verse 33 again, but this time from the Message version of the Bible. Jesus said, "I've told you all this so that trusting me, you will be unshakable and assured, deeply at peace. In this godly world, you will continue to experience difficulties, but take heart. I've conquered the world." Amen. Amen. Amen.